Blog Talk
Radio. This is 050 on the radio, and this is Monday, November 2nd, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and opportunity to do this show. We are going to be filled up today. We got two shows going on, one right now. One at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's our college basketball. Woo! College basketball preview. You know I'm going to be amped for that one. That one giving you the top 25, giving you my Final Four, first and second teamers. Might even give you a little bit more on the side as well. But anyway, gotta get to the World Series. Hey. The Kansas City Royals come up, and they found a way to get it done, win the series 4-1. Hey, you got to give them credit. In that 30-year drought, heck, I remember when they won their last World Series, in fact, with Britt Saberhagen and George Brett and company in 1985. Woo! That was a long time ago, but this one, hey, you got to give him credit. Salvador Perez wins the MVP. He hit 364, made the big hit. But, hey, it was a team effort for the Royals. Got to give the credit to them. They did it the way they've done it all year long with the base running of Eric Hosmer and the big game hitting and base running of Lorenzo Cain and Escobar doing his thing. And they just never give up. They never, ever, ever give up. Yep, they came up, won the World Series. Don't know if they'll be able to sustain it like they did this year. Heck, I had them pick third in the AL, is it Central? I believe it's Central this year. Didn't think they could hold on to it. I thought they would be frustrated because they were so agonizingly close. But they were dominant from opening day to the last game of the season. They were phenomenal. Got to give the Royals their credit. Hey, people in this area should pay attention to the Royals. Hey, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You don't have to be a home run hitting team to win the World Series. Got to have some clutch hitting, though. Got to have clutch hitting. And that's something that was not around here at all this year. We're not going to go there. They're not going to go there. Got to go to the NFL. Ooh-wee. Yeah, you know I am on happy alert because you know what's going on. The Raiders. That's right. The Oakland Raiders. They're getting it done. I mean, there's just absolutely nothing I can say negative about. Well, I can talk about people of Oakland not getting a stadium built, but the Raiders, 4-3 right now, getting it done over the Jets, 34-20. Derek Carr got buck wild on them, 333 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a QBR of 93.6. Remember, that's going from 0 to 100. First time this team had a record since this late since 2011. Remember, that team lost their last two in a row, I believe. But I don't know if that's going to happen here. Derek Carr really playing well. The Raiders just dominated the game. Latavius Murray, he had 113 yards. You had Michael Crabtree with 102 receiving yards and a touchdown. Andre Holmes caught 2 touchdowns. They've been dominant, people. They're rolling over people. And remember in the losses, hey, they lost to the Bears at the very end of the game. It could be almost close for them to be challenging the Broncos. They knew how to finish if they had to. Right to it at the beginning, but right now, take them as you can get them. 4-3, and they keep on chugging, are the Raiders. Watch out, everybody. I'm telling you, I've been saying it all season. Watch out. Meanwhile, while on Thursday night, the Patriots just embarrassed the Dolphins. Man, he's like, what is going on here? 36-7, it wasn't even that close. Brady threw for 356 yards. He had four touchdowns. Noskowski, he hit his 26th field goal in a row. That's a franchise record. Then you had Rob Gronkowski. He had 113 yards and a touchdown. You had Julian Edelman with two touchdowns. You had Deion Lewis have 93 receiving yards and a touchdown. I mean, they just pounded on the Dolphins. Dolphins were feeling good beforehand. Don't think they're feeling the same way now. Okay, yesterday had some goodies. Found a way to surprise the Falcons 23-20 in overtime. The Falcons don't have anybody to blame but themselves. They had four turnovers, three fumbles. They were down 17 points. But you know, this is the Broncos. They gave them a chance to come back, tie the game, put it in the overtime time. But Jameis Winston made three really big third down completions. Went down the field. Connor Barth kicked the field goal, and then their defense held the fort against the Falcons when they needed to. The Falcons just never made a play when they really needed it. Julio Jones, he was. My goodness, if there's a better wide receiver in the league, please let me know who it is. 12 receptions, 162 yards. He was phenomenal. No, Devontae Freeman only had 88 yards. Is that right? Only had 88 yards? Yeah, that sounds funny. But first game, he didn't gain 100 when he started in the game this season. What about what happened in New Orleans? Eli Manning throws six touchdown passes, and he wasn't even the best quarterback in the game. Say what? That's right. 52-49 was the total because Drew Brees went bananas. Went for a career high 511 yards and seven touchdowns. That's right. I said 511 yards and seven touchdowns. Like I said earlier, Manning had six touchdowns. He threw three of them to one Odell Beckham. And how about that? The game-winning field goal was kicked by none other than Kai Forbath, former kicker right here in D.C. And the funny thing is, it was a 50-yarder. They said he couldn't kick long field goals here. Well, he sure did hit the game winner yesterday. So the Saints to beat the Giants, as we say. So Kai Forbath looks like he might have a home. I don't know if he's going to leave New Orleans anytime soon. He's a phenomenal kicker. Don't get me started on why the Skins got rid of him. Anyway, but what about in Baltimore? Ray Lewis gives the pregame speech. He got everybody rocking and rolling. Did it help? Hey! Yeah, it did. It did. Helped them out very well as the Ravens came back and took out San Diego 29-26. Joe Flacco had 319 yards and a touchdown, ran for another touchdown. Only issue, Steve Smith tore his Achilles. He's out for the season. I don't know where the Ravens are going to find anybody to catch the ball anymore. They don't have a go-to wide receiver. Steve Smith was their guy. They don't have anybody that can go to unless you say Ramar Aiken or Marlon Brown. I just don't see him having anybody to go to. We'll see what they figure out. Bro, meanwhile, the Chargers, they've lost four in a row. Man, their offensive line is so dinged up, and the fact that put numbers 301 yards and three touchdowns, that's his fifth consecutive 300-yard game. That's a franchise record. But he's not having any help with the offensive line. The offensive line beat up, mangled, and such. Hey, we'll see what they figure out, but hey, the Ravens got to feel better. I know they're only 2-6, but man, they're going to scare the pants off of everyone for the rest of the season. The Bengals held off the Steelers 16-10. Andy Dalton, what is going on with him? He threw for 231 yards. He had a touchdown, threw two picks. It was one of them, what did Al McGuire call them, white knucklers. It was one tough game. A.J. Green, man, he is starting to, you know, he's starting his fill up his resume trying to get this thing going to Canton. 118 yards and a touchdown. Best start in Bengal history. Hey, you got to give the defense credit. They picked off Roethlisberger in this game back three times. He did not look the same, though. But the key for the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, looks like he's out for the season with torn ACL. Hell, that is not good. Meanwhile, in Dallas, they thought they had one, and the Seahawks stole it from them. Big time third down run by Russell Wilson got the first down. Steve Luska hit the 24-yard field goal with 6 seconds left, and the Seahawks beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys have now lost five in a row. Doesn't it seem like more than that? And I'm looking at it like, yeah. In the second time in five games, they've gone without a TD. And what the Seahawks really have to embrace is that they finally finished the game. All year they've been blowing lead in the fourth quarter. And this time they finally get the ball, make the play, and don't look now. The Seahawks are 500. They are going to start stepping on people left and right. This is going to be a problem in the NFC. Don't count out the Seahawks yet. Meanwhile, the Broncos pounded the Packers last night, 29-10. I haven't seen a defense do that to Aaron Rodgers ever. They absolutely pounded them. You want to know how bad this of a butt whooping this was? No problem. From total yards, Broncos 500, Packers 140. And it might have not even been that close. The Broncos, after their 7-0 start, first time since 1998. You know the quarterback was Mr. John Elway in 1998. That was his last year rolling. And even though Peyton Manning had his best game of the year, I'd say by far. I don't think it's even close. He threw for 340 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown. He did throw a pick. But he was fabulous yesterday. He hit the Demaryius Thomas eight times for 168 yards. But the key were the running backs. They got all the glory. Ronnie Hillman with 60 yards and two touchdowns. DJ Anderson with 101 yards and a touchdown. It was one nice one over there in Denver for the Packers. Man, they had to be ecstatic for how that all went down. All right, well, we get into college football. Ooh, everybody's been talking about my Canes again. They just can't get out the news. They can't get out. Look here. And, you know, I make no qualms. I'm a fan, but my goodness, the refereeing in this game, I don't even need to really say anything. 23 penalties. I've never even seen a game where a team had 23 penalties. They didn't even try to throw one on the last day of the game. Look at here. Then Duke comes down the field, end of the game. Game two, phantom pass interference call. Cannot believe it. Duke gets the lead. Still haven't seen him cross the plane yet. No one has seen him cross the plane, and I guarantee, and I pretty much assume that the referee didn't see it. He was just anything against the Canes. He was calling it. He had two of the pass interference calls. So then we come up, and Duke kicks off. Miami laterals it eight times. Times when they throw on the other side of the field, they get some blockers. He goes all the way to the end zone. They call a phantom blocker back call, which is another phantom call, but they picked that up even though they weren't supposed to. Then they said the man's knee was down. I still haven't seen that one yet, neither. But either way, the fact is Miami comes up with the victory. 30-27. Of course, Duke is whining about officials. How can you whine about officiating when you had 23 penalties and we still haven't seen your man cross the end zone yet? But they're going to whine about officials. Oh, man, you got to love Duke, don't you? Anyway, wait, Miami comes up, wins the game. Hey, Duke, you still got a chance. You play Carolina next week. Beat Carolina. Carolina, that ain't going to happen neither. But either way, Miami. I mean, boy, they went through so much this week, this past week with the firing of their coach, the passing away of Artie Burns' mother, and he played sensational, by the way. Way they were out there with Malik Rozier here, and he played great. 272 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Only really bad pass he had all night. Night played really well. Hey, if people don't know Stacy Coley is a player that they need to start paying attention. He had 87 yards off of 5 catches. He scored a touchdown. And I'm trying to tell people the Canes, they're loaded talent wise. They just got to get their heads in the game. Something that I never thought I'd see Miami do, tired on the field. Never ever happened. With Miami teams, but it just showed they were not trained to be. I'll just say not trained correctly to be trained, in my opinion. Meanwhile, going up to Pittsburgh on Thursday, UNC, man, they're rolling. Beating Pitt 26-19. Marquise Williams, I keep telling people, he's the most underrated quarterback in the country, 270 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, North Carolina's undefeated, everybody. And the fact is, you have North Carolina and Duke. They will play each other next week. And Carolina still got to play Miami. Hey, the Coastal is the only thing you really got to worry about. The Atlantic, that's going to be decided next week. When Florida State plays Clemson, we're about to talk about that in a little bit. But, hey, you got to give Carolina some credit. They lost that first game to South Carolina, which they should have won. Then they would be undefeated. But they have dominated their flow. They have been a dominant offense since they started running Elijah Hood more. Marquise Williams is getting his accuracy together. They've been really, really good in the last 5 games. Florida State pounded Syracuse 45-21. Sean McGay, this was the backup crew that beat them now. Now, Sean McGuire threw for 348 yards and 3 touchdowns. They had Patrick over there running the ball. He had 162 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, Travis Rudolph, he had 191 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. He caught all 3 touchdowns from McGuire. Where they were dominant. Florida State, they will see Clemson next week, and Clemson disposed of NC State, an inspired NC State team, 56-41. I don't even know what to say. You almost got a mark that offensive rookie, ACC offensive player of the year, that Deshaun Watson, 383 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. He ran for 54 more yards and another touchdown. Down this week, you know we're going to preview it on Thursday, but it's going to be a big one. You're going to have, I almost suggest every NFL team be in attendance for that one. You're going to see at least 20 to 30 NFL players in that one. Oh, they're going to be out there in force. Meanwhile, in the Pac-12, it was down to the nub again. Stanford found a way to take out Washington State 30-28. Washington State missed the field goal at the very end. And, you got to give Washington State credit. I've been saying Mike Leach's been coaching this year. He had those dudes. Stanford had to change game plans more than once until finally David Shaw said, enough of this. We're running the ball right down their throat. They did just that, and the guy who made the big run, how about Kevin Hogan? Wait a minute, that's a quarterback. That's right. right. He ran for 112 yards and two touchdowns. That's right. Christian McCaffrey wasn't even the main dude. He had 107 rushing yards. Yards did not get in the end zone. But they just scrapped this passing game altogether. They just went to running the ball, 40 rushes, 226 yards, three touchdowns for Stanford. They were big time. Hey, Washington State really came at them. Their defensive front was trying to give them problems until they just said, we're going to work on the offensive line, and pounded Utah, pounded Oregon State 27-12. Everybody assumes that Utah was just going to give up or something. I didn't understand that. They just cruised right on by Oregon State. You know, really got to give Travis Wilson some credit. He was 14-17 passing, 198 yards and a touchdown. Their bell cow, though, is still Devontae Booker, 121 yards and a TD. The Utah is just marching. That's all they're doing. 4-1 in the conference now. Now 7-1 total. Got to give that team some credit. Hey, if you didn't think Kyle Willingham was a coach, you better know it now. Meanwhile, in UCLA, man, that was a good game in the Rose Bowl. UCLA found a way to eke it out, 35-31. Paul Perkins, 118 yards on 12 rushes, almost 10 yards a carry. He's got a touchdown. Josh Rosen threw for 262 yards and a touchdown. Then you had USC. Oh, man. It was a good one over there at Cal, 27-21. One, Ronald Jones had 80 yards rushing and a touchdown, but the big play of the game, Adoree Jackson with a 46-yard pick six to you right now. He is not Deion Sanders like people keep on trying to compare him to, but, man, he isn't much. He is the most exciting dude maybe in college football. When he touches the ball, man, great things happen. I'm not going to say he's the most exciting because he doesn't touch the ball enough. But, man, he is phenomenal out there. When he had the ball, when he got the ball, everybody knew he was thinking pick six, and he actually did it. How about the American Athletic Conference? Yes, we're talking about them for a second straight week. I know Big 12 fans, y'all going to get on my case. I do understand. Hey, but you guys didn't really have too much action. I mean, hey, I'll go through the Big 12 real quick. You had Oklahoma blasting Kansas 62-7. And then you came up and you had TCU on Thursday blasting West Virginia 40-10. I mean, what are we here to talk about? Baylor didn't play. Matter of fact, they were the most newsworthy with Seth Russell going through neck surgery. That effectively ended his season. That's your intrigue right there. If you want a Big 12, you got to get some games going here. Get some excitement. I can roll around. Hey, the biggest game on Saturday was in Philadelphia? Wait a minute. You got to be kidding me. That's right. The Temple Owls, they were playing Notre Dame. And are you kidding me? One of the best games of the day. Notre Dame didn't blow anybody out. Matter of fact, they had to come from behind. I said on Tuesday, watch out, people. Fuller to make that play to win the game, being that he is from the Philadelphia area, and he sure did with a touchdown reception with 2:09 left for the Notre Dame 24-20 victory. Hey, you got to give Temple credit. Man, you got to get into it. Hey, but wait a minute, real quick, Deshaun Kizner, 299 yards. He had a touchdown. He had he threw two interceptions. What about him running the football? Well, did anybody know he had that type of speed on the touchdown run? Man, he took off. So he had 143 yards rushing for that 79-yard touchdown run. Whew, he was rolling past people. People went from even to leaving at about 10 yards. It was unbelievable. Well, but hey, you got to give Temple credit. They believe now. If they didn't believe they could play, they better believe now. People in Philly, y'all got to get on board with that one. They look really good. Hey, but let's hear the former resident. They are smoking. They went played Vanderbilt, Bill, and Houston didn't. I don't even know if they packed the house, and they smoked them 34-0, just pounded them. Some Greg Ward did his normal thing, ran for a touchdown, threw for 222 yards, and another touchdown. What about? I don't even think I've ever even uttered this in life. The Houston Cougars defense? I don't even know why. That doesn't even sound right. Four turnovers. They put it down with four turnovers. They only gave up 185 yards to. That is the SEC team, right? I mean, I know it's Vanderbilt, but it's SEC. They were winning when Mr. Franklin was there, weren't they? They, man, 185 yards and four turnovers for a Houston Cougar defense and the shutout. Woo! Big things are running there. There in the Big Ten, hey, said it at the beginning of the season. People got upset when I said Michigan should only lose three games. I said that game that they're going to have to figure out to win is the one at Minnesota. Uh-huh. Well, they found a way to eke by 29-26. I'm still trying to figure out how they did it. Hey, Minnesota did everything they needed to do to win the game. They outgained Michigan 461 yards to 296. And then they came up here and had two turnovers by Michigan. But Michigan made the big-time goal line stand at the one, effectively ending the game. And then what about undefeated Iowa? They pounded Maryland 31-15. Their defense, four turnovers, took one of them back for a touchdown at 88-yard interception return. Hey, they were shutting Maryland out until the fourth quarter. They let them go by there. Then what about the SEC? Hey, y'all know I love Ole Miss. 27-19 victory over Auburn. Chad Kelly, 381 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. He was throwing that thing to Laquon Treadwell. I've been talking about this all year. Seven catches, 114 yards, one touchdown. First SEC player to have four straight games with 100 yards and a touchdown since one with Rashad Caldwell in 2001. One, y'all remember when Steve was dominating all the SEC? Y'all remember that? Speaking of Florida came up and he demolished Georgia in the largest cocktail party down there in Jacksonville. Bill, Kelvin Taylor ran for 121 yards and two touchdowns. And what about Antonio Callaway? He started to be that playmaker and wide receiver. He caught a touchdown pass along with 110 yards receiving. Now it is a part of the show I didn't want to really get to, but man, gotta be fair. Where my Hampton Pirates, they came up and they fell short to the South Carolina Bulldogs, 34-20. Caleb York threw three touchdown passes, and Jalen Simmons ran for 135 yards, I believe. The Pirates couldn't get anything going until the second half was scoreless. That was pretty much the game. It was even Steven. It was 20-20 in the second half. The difference was 14-0 in the first half. That's how it got done there. All right. Well, we're down to 60 seconds. So we're just going to give you. We're going to again have the preview to college basketball at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to give you the top 25, my final four. We're going to give you my first and second team of big-time freshmen this year. See, I don't give them big-time names, but that's what we're going to be doing this evening. So tune in at 6. Also, we'll be back to preview the NFL, and then we're gonna the NFL and college football on Thursday, and we're gonna finally talk about some NBA on Thursday as well. Hey, we've had the World Series. Can't talk about it when the World Series is on, but we're gonna get to it on Thursday. So we'll get back at you at 6 o'clock. Toodaloo and bye bye.